The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this ninth day, this Sunday, ninth day of October 2022. And tonight we have, we have a whole lot to cover. And so the title of the message tonight was The Devil's Diary. The Devil's Diary. But before I get into that, I wanted to say hats off to Dr. Bill Grady. What a great presentation he gave tonight at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. It was just an excellent message that he preached, and he did it with a lot of humor. He did it in a way which was very entertaining. At the same time, he really put forth a lot of information that people really need to know. I mean, we're living in the time, folks. I mean, I hate to have to say it, but we have so many la-la landers out there today. The vast majority of people, they know things are not right. They know things, something's wrong. But because of biblical illiteracy, and here, this book right in front of me, God's Word, the King James Bible, is, you know, it's not some archaic book writings. This book here tells you what has happened in the past, what is happening now, and what will happen, all with absolute perfect accuracy. It's the greatest source of wisdom and knowledge that ever existed yet. You have to understand, you have to be able to know the combination, how to understand, and you only get that by studying the Word of God. And so, that's what we're going to do tonight as we go through this message. And I want to start tonight in Genesis chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you should die." Well, here he goes on to say, "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall surely not die. For God doth know that in the day you eat, therefore, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, here, right away, we see in these verses that Satan the purpose was to turn Adam and Eve against God. Here he's making God sound like, well, you might say a tyrant. God knows these things. God's not telling you the truth. He's saving all the good stuff for himself. He know that you will be like a God yourself, knowing good from evil. Now, at the same time, he was trying to make Eve think that sin is good, pleasant. Sin is a good and a pleasant and desirable thing. And knowledge of both good and evil seemed harmless to her, so people usually will choose the wrong things because they become convinced that those things that are good, at least for themselves. Now, our sins do not always appear ugly to us. And there's always pleasure in sin, yeah. And the pleasant sins are the hardest to avoid. So, again, here, Adam and Eve got what they wanted, an intimate knowledge of both good and evil, but they got it in a kind of really distorted, painful way, if you will. By doing evil, we sometimes have the illusion that freedom is doing nothing we want. Or freedom is doing anything we want, not nothing, anything that we want. God says true freedom comes from the obedience and knowing what to do and what not to do. And so here, I want to go over to Isaiah 14. Now, here, if the devil were to publish his diary, now, see, in a sense, because of what Satan has proclaimed, this was his stand. You could see how he talked to Adam and Eve. In a sense, if he had kept a diary, maybe that would be in it. But we know that if he were to publish a diary, that we would expect to find the accuracy, just like what we just heard him tell a great big whopper, a whopper to Eve. And you shall surely not die. Well, the Lord was speaking of a death, both a spiritual and a physical death. Had they not partaken of that, had they obeyed God, they could live forever, forever. But now they were going to die both spiritually and physically, and they would be separated from God because of their sin. And so here, and of course, they would ultimately, even though they lived really long lives, they would ultimately die. And so we would find that we would expect to find Satan's diary, the accuracy and truthfulness to be about as credible as and accurate as the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax or the Hunter Biden laptop from hell debacle as portrayed by the so-called mainstream media, which has lost so much credibility. They have lost so much credibility. Now, you would probably read something to the effect that Satan has every intention of stealing the throne from God, the way Joe Biden stole the presidency from President Donald Trump. Now, when I say this, it's an interesting thing. In these diaries, you've heard of the Diary of Anne Frank, which was an excellent, excellent book written about and movie made. But just recently, I had read an article about a guy who had come across his wife's diary. And boy, he came across it in a very timely manner. Now, this is beyond me why someone would take and write in their diary the crimes that they were about to commit. But he found this diary in a timely manner, and by doing so, found out his wife was having an affair, and she was doing a very good job of hiding the affair. But her and her lover were planning on taking over his business, and the way that it was said, they were a little careful, but they had to get him out of the way. And so he probably meant that they had planned on killing him. And so he found that out in a timely manner. And here now, too, if we take a look at Satan's diary, well, again, would we see that Satan has the idea that in his diary, maybe, that he's going to steal the throne from God? You say, what? What? Well, let's go to Isaiah 14 and hear from Satan himself. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will set upon the mount of the congregations of the sides of the north. Now this is interesting here. When he says, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars. Now the stars there are angels. They're God's angels, God's holy angels. And he's saying he's going to exalt his throne above them. Now the only one that can exalt themselves above the angels is God himself. Those holy angels are there to make sure nothing like that could ever happen, but they get their power from God, not vice versa. And so here now is Lucifer, the devil, Satan, and he's decided that he is going to have a coup, much like what took place with President Trump, with the Democratic Communist Party, the collective, with all of the deep state. And that's exactly what it was. It was a coup that they did against the legitimate, who is still the legitimate president of the country, Donald Trump. And so Satan has decided to do that. He had already attempted to take over and was cast out of heaven. He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now, that means he is going to rise up. And that word heights there in the Hebrew is Obama. Obama. Now, it's spelled U-G-B-A-M-M-A. Okay? Obama. U-G. It's pronounced Obama, but it's spelled Obama. Okay? Obama or whatever. And when it means this, that it means the elevated one. So the primary definition there would be the most high, which would be God. And of course, he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. In other words, he's saying he will ascend above God himself. Now here, when you take a look at that, if you remove the UG from that word, Obama, you just have Bama. And in that, Bama tells you that it's the high place, if you remove the UG. And we see that in a couple places in Scripture there, especially in Ezekiel. Now, the primary definition of that would be... Well, let me just read it to you here. This is in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 29. Then I said unto him, what is the name, what is the high place whereunto you go? And the name thereof is called Bama to this day. Whereas you say unto your house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, you are polluted after this manner of your fathers, and you commit whoredom after their abominations. For when you offer your gifts and you make your sons pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all of your idols, even unto this day shall I inquire of you, O house of Israel. So here again, the primary definition is Obama is heaven, the high place. The secondary, though, is the high place where they offered up their children. They sacrificed their children. Now, let me tell you, Satan loves sacrifice. He loves innocent sacrifice. And this is what the Democratic Communist Party, this is what the Democrats do. They sacrifice their children to Satan. They sacrifice their, believe me, folks, if you had any idea, most people are clueless, in just how infested the Democratic Communist Party is with Satanism. The Satanic Church now is a legitimate part of the Democratic Party now. They're seeped in everything that's called sin, murder, whether it's abortion, euthanasia. They're seeped in pedophilia within the Democratic Communist Party today. This is the reality. This is why you understand the days that we're living in. Again, why it is so clearly defined in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It is so clearly defined, so clearly defined. Also Romans chapter 1. And so here, we go back to where I left off. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set up on the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. Well, that is the third heaven. That's where God dwells. And that's where Satan had dwelt until he was cast out. Well, he was the anointed cherub that dwelt above the throne room of God. Satan was privy. He was privy to the conversations between the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He was privy to their future plans and things. And so here, he goes on to say, yes, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now, the clouds were the saints. And there's four categories of saints. First are the angels. The second is the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then the tribulation saints. He goes on to say, I will be like the Most High. And so now here he's proclaiming that he is going to be as God is himself. He's going to be God. Now, there are a lot of false teachings out there, and I mean, believe me, you've heard how many of them believe that the Lord Jesus and Satan were brothers. No, Jesus was the creator. Jesus was the creator. He was, Christ was pre-existent. He was eternal. There was never a time when Christ didn't exist. And Satan was created by the Lord Jesus himself. And that's why it's so how much here the devil is like, well, for example, does this sound like something you'd get from a government agency? Over there in Matthew chapter 4, where Satan takes the Lord up into a high plateau, and he says, take a look at the world out there. Everywhere, whatever you can see, look. I will give you all of it. All of it. Anything you want out there. If you'll just worship me. Now that was awful kind of him, seeing as how when he was telling the Lord that he would give him belonged to the Lord already. Remember, the Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof, including the heavens, belong to God. So doesn't that sound like the IRS telling you, you know, we will give you something that already belongs to you? And here, virtually what Satan was telling the Lord Jesus, well, you know, I'll give you what I've been trying to take away from you. And so here, we go on and we see that he's got a disappointment coming. Now, I don't know how he writes this disappointment in. Oh, yeah, well, I got a good idea. And we're going to get to that as we go through the message here. And he says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" And so, now you would have, you might hear Satan say that the throne, well, the throne was rightly his because he has the attributes that are required and the unmatched wisdom and the power to be the one and only potentate to sit on the throne. Now, you might hear Joe Biden say that he won the election fair and square. That's one of the biggest lies he's ever told. Well, I'm going to tell you, that'll match the, even exceed the, he was raised by Puerto Rican fib that he just told. I mean, boy, he comes up with some good ones. But if we go over to Ezekiel chapter 28, for example, in Ezekiel chapter 28, here, you would hear this. You may hear if he was to write in his diary. Well, let's actually start from the beginning. Now, the first 10 verses here in Ezekiel chapter 28 actually deals with Ethabel the Third. Ethabel the Third was literally Jezebel's nephew, a wicked, wicked man, and he had decided that he was not just a man, but that he was a god. He was like George Soros. George Soros said he was a god. And like Obama. Obama says, "I am the one that you've been waiting for. I am." Now, by the way, "I am that I am" is a name for God. And so Obama repeats this twice, and "the one that I've been waiting for." And so here, and of course, you know how Oprah said that she is the source of her own salvation. She is the source of her own salvation. That Jamie Foxx, from that Soul Train, when they had their big blowout, whatever you call production, they said that they want to offer all of their thanks and their prayers and their worship to their Lord and Savior, Barack Obama. And so here now, in the same manner, this Ethabel III, well, he decided he was a god. And the reason for that, well, if you read over in chapter 27, he had his kingdom was built. Well, let me just read. "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, make up the lamentations of Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate in the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles, thus saith the Lord God of Tyrus, thou hast said that I am perfect in beauty, and thy borders are in the midst of the sea, and thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all the shipboards of fir trees." Well, he also, here, in his situation up on this mountain in the sea lanes, he was able to control who could come through, and everybody had to pay him passage. Now, he had a major business going in the human smuggling. And so now, as we're going to read this, you're going to see that God is chiding him. God is chiding the Prince of Tyre here. Now, in verses 1 through 10, he's referring to the Prince of Tyre. And then in verse 11 is where we see where he gets his power from. Now the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not a god, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, now here he chides him. Now remember, Daniel was a contemporary of the time and was considered to be one of the wisest men that ever lived, Daniel was. And he goes on to say, Behold, why, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Oh, with thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver in thy treasures. But thy great wisdom, and by thy traffic, hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations. And he was referring to Babylon there and Nebuchadnezzar. This occurred about 573 B.C. And it was Nebuchadnezzar that sent them. And he said, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw near their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom. And they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit. And thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am a god? But thou shalt be a man, and no god, in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And so here now, he had, and that's exactly what happened. Shortly after, that's exactly what did happen there. Ethabel III found out that he wasn't a god at all when the Babylonians showed up. But now you're taking a look at where he got his who he was getting his power, who his mentor was, who his God was. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus. And this is Satan himself. And saying to him, Thus saith I, the Lord God, thou seedest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone and every covering the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, and the workmanship of the tabarets, and of the pipes were prepared in thee. In the day that thou wast created, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked upon, up and down, on the stones, in the midst of the stones of fire. So God is telling him that he was the most beautiful creature, perfect, the most powerful angel, and the most beautiful creature that God had created. Now, let me just stop there for just a minute, because, as you know, there are so many different teachings out there. One of the pagan teachings was that, and you know what, this is an amazing thing, because an evolutionist today, and you know, it would be much more likely to have something like this taught rather than the truth in the public school system. But the teaching they taught, these occultists, that God didn't create the universe. In fact, it was just exactly the opposite, that the universe created God. That after billions and billions of years, the universe created this being. And then after more and more time, he became omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent. His power grew to where it was absolute power. And so there's a little problem with all of that. The problem with that is, one, you cannot have a creation without a creator. And so had there been no creator like God, there would have been no universe, because the universe had to be created. Now, God himself is eternal, and he's pre-existent. And all that we know from his word is that there was never a time where God did not exist. And you say, well, how is that possible? Well, as he says, with God, all things are possible. It's far beyond our comprehension of how God does the things that God does. And so here now he goes on and he says this: Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Now, here, he goes on. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, and thou shalt be a terror that shall never, and never shalt thou be any more. Now, here they have built a complete doctrine on this verse here. The doctrine of annihilation. And again, there are some that teach this doctrine of annihilation. They teach that you don't go to hell. You're not in hell in torment forever and ever, like the Bible actually teaches pretty clearly. But they say that here, this proves that those that have come short of the kingdom will be cast into the lake of fire. They'll be turned into ash, to be vaporized immediately, and no longer, just will cease to exist. Well, there's a problem with that. And the problem is that people, like angels, were eternal beings. We don't go out of existence. We just change our shape, our form, and our real estate. Now here, what they're saying is this: when he says, Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of them that behold thee. Well, he's not saying that Satan is going to cease to exist. He's saying he will cease to exist in the form that he was in, no longer have the power that he has. And so here, and that the time is coming when this will happen. Satan will be totally dethroned and thrown into the lake of fire. And so here, Satan knew that God, being holy, would require a perfect and innocent and sinless sacrifice as a savior. Well, you see, Satan understood that. He sat in the throne room of God. He kind of had an idea where things were going. He was out there. He headed towards the Garden of Eden because he knew that his job was to destroy the world, dethrone God, and become God, sit on God's throne. But here, God had another plan, in that he was going to send a Messiah, a Redeemer, a Savior, to redeem mankind. But this Messiah had to be one that was totally and completely sinless. He had to be perfect in every way. He had to live the life and be tempted in every way that men are, and never give in and never at any time sin. Now, of course, there was only one that fit the bill. There was only one that could do that, and that was the Lord Jesus himself. And so here, Satan decides that he is going to corrupt all of mankind with his demon seed, so that a redeemer cannot come forth. You couldn't bring a complete, perfect, and holy individual out of a polluted population. And so let's go over to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 6. Now, there is something that happened back then that is happening again today. And there are a whole lot of things that are similar to the way things were then and now. For example, the estimated population of the earth by most theologians in history was about the same as it is today, closing in on 8 billion. That's interesting. Here, the demon seed, when these fallen angels, when the sons of God took the daughters of men and they provided offsprings, bear, these were not complete human beings. They were different. And what they had done, they had changed the DNA. And so here now, and the purpose was to eventually destroy the earth's population. Now here, Satan is doing it again with the mRNA spike protein. And these things that are, they call vaccines, but they're not vaccines at all. They're not vaccines at all. They're bioweapons. And they're killing people, a lot of people. And that's being covered up by the fake news media. But because of programs like this, we have gotten a lot out. And by the way, folks, if you do not get our newsletter, you really need to get that newsletter. You talk about documentation. We've sent out so much documentation. I believe that just this year alone, if we were to add up all of the, just the stacks of the letters that we have sent out, the emails and things that we've used, that stack would be all the way up to my head, to the top of my head. That's you know, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of articles that we have researched, fought, and brought out. And we place many of those in the newsletter every month. And so, remember, Scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You don't want to be on that end of it. You want to have the knowledge. In Genesis chapter 6, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were men of old, men of renown. And so, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made a man on the earth. And it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and every creeping thing in the fowls of the earth, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now, here, when it says it repenteth God, it's not the same thing what God is saying when God repents as it is when we repent. We repent of doing something that we shouldn't have done, something that we should not have done. Now, God has gone into this. He has the full knowledge ahead of time. Being omniscient, not only does he see the future, know the future, he is the future. But in him, what he's sorry about, what he's repenting is, not that he did anything wrong that he should be repenting of, but the fact that after giving man the free will to make the right choice and to make the choice of obedience to him, then man chose to go in the opposite direction. Instead of choosing to be obedient, he chose to be disobedient. And just like the fallen angels, you know, not only were they required not to have relations with women, the women were required not to have relations with them. Of course, these fallen angels, they didn't often give the women the choice of whether they wanted to or not. And so here he says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, a perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted in the way upon the earth. And God said it to Noah, the end of flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Here, Noah preached for 120 years to repent, these people. And the earth was filled with violence. Today, the earth is filled with violence. I mean, and it's getting worse every day. It's getting worse every day. The earth is being filled with more and more violence. And God is saying, it's time now. Now remember, the population of the earth at that time was estimated to be about the same as it is today. And so God is immutable. He does things the same today, tomorrow, forever. He doesn't change. Now, Satan, if we fast forward 6,000 years or more, Satan has become the god of the world. He has a larger following than the Lord Jesus. Like Jesus, Satan demands. He demands innocent, not sinless, not perfect, but innocent human sacrifices from his simps. That word simps comes from the word meaning simple-minded or simpleton. We see that over in Proverbs 2. And so Satan demands that they sacrifice innocent children, because you can't get more innocent than a baby out there today in our society. You know, the only one could be more innocent than that would be the Lord himself. But here, the fact is, Satan demands an innocent sacrifice. And let's go over to John chapter 8. Then they said unto him, we're looking in verse 43, verse 41. Jesus says to them, you do the deeds of your father. Now he's talking to the religious leaders. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth unto you, do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. For you therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now, folks, here, Satan is not omnipotent, or omnipotent, if you will. He's not omniscient, meaning all-knowing, or omnipresent, meaning everywhere once. But through technology today, he can appear that. He can appear to be all-powerful. He can appear to be, and one of the things that his minions, his children, try to do is they try to use intimidation. Karl Marx had said that, keep the people confused. Keep them off balance. Say one thing, do another. Go this way, go that way. If they're confused, if they're unsure, if they're off balance, they're easier to control that way. And we see this thing, you say, well, when we have these people saying these things like, who knows what a woman is, or when the AMA now, when they say, well, they're not sure what a gender is. When you're saying, what, have they lost their minds completely? Well, the idea is to confuse you and to make you wonder, what in the world is going on? Is it possible these people actually believe this stuff? This is pure lunacy, the woke generation stuff. But it's all about control. Again, it's about control. Now, you say, well, then what in the world is happening? Why has the FBI been weaponized against us, the patriots, the American people? Again, it goes back to being control. And not just the FBI, the CIA, okay? If you take a look at so many of your woke corporations, so many of your police departments then that have been weaponized against us. And so here, today, when we take a look at it, we see Satan, again, like I said before, he's got a larger following than the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, many, many, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. And so today, Satan out there, the Satanism is growing as we head towards the tribulation period. Now, as we come up on that tribulation period, okay, folks, we We'll be in very perilous times, very, very perilous times. But just prior to the start of that tribulation period, God's people will be taken out of here. You see, the purpose of the tribulation period is for the purification of the nation of Israel. We are not, the church is not the purification, is not Israel, it's not. So it's not for the church. There's no reason for the church to be there. The other reason is for the judging of the wicked. And again, that does not apply to the church. But now, when we take a look at the supporters, see, and this is what we need. Now, just imagine if people, if everybody, everybody who's a professing Christian, boy, I mean, just think if they would just vote, if they would just get out and vote. But it's apathy and ignorance that brings so much grief on the rest of the population. But here, you have Satan's army, Satan's children, the Democratic Communist Party. You've got the mainstream media. They're Satan's propaganda piece. The NEA, that so-called teachers union, it is a communist cell. It is a communist cell. It has been. They could care less about your children. All they care about is destroying the church and you know, stealing and making money any way possible. Here, Hollywood, Planned Parenthood, the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ, all of these are deep state antichrist. Now, they're referring to us today as Christian nationalists. This is the name they've given us, Christian nationalists. To try to make us look more like a political movement than the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, than patriotic America. Add that to that, the National Council of Churches, which is the Great Whore. It's a part of the Great Whore, the National Council of Churches. Add to that the Church of Satan. The Church of Satan now has become a legitimate branch, just like the Planned Parenthood and these others, of the Democratic Communist Party. NARAL, the National Abortion Rights League, they are a horrendous, evil, wicked, I mean, completely and totally wicked, unclean group of people. Burn, loot, and murder, BLM, they call themselves Black Lives Matter. I call them burn, loot, and murder because that's what they do. The NAACP, another actual racist group, communist, antichrist racist group. Of course, you got NOW, and that's Nasty Old Women. And you got, of course, the Synagogue of Satan. That's the apostate Jewish synagogue. And add to that Islam. Now, we see the evidence of Satan's time is getting short. Increases in demonic activity, witchcraft on the rise, the mutilation of confused young people, and this gender bending in the public school system, the attempt to normalize and to legitimize pedophilia. They've offered up legislation to make pedophilia legal if children are consenting children. Children can't be consenting children, folks. This is nothing but pure evil. There's an attempt to legitimize, and not only legitimize, but they want to promote LGBTQ as not just a legitimate, but a preferred way of life. What God has called an abomination, the weaponizing of our DOJ, FBI, CIA, IRS, DHS against Christian America. The spewing of hatred against Christian patriots by Joe Obama and Kamala Harris. The beating and the murder of their political prisoners by dirty, corrupt, racist D.C. cops. They murdered the Christian patriots there, folks. It's flat-out murder. And these cops were dirty, and they were corrupt, and they were racist. Now, the harassment of pro-life Christians by cowardly traitors, FBI agents who they get off by sneaking into houses and sticking guns in the faces of little children in the middle of the night. We see the feminizing of young men in America, how that has hurt, and the increase of whoredom among young women. I mean, a young girl in high school today can't even announce she's a virgin without being set upon, being ostracized by saying that she's kept herself clean and pure. The increase of George Soros bought and paid for whores pretending to be attorney generals and also district prosecuting attorneys. The increase of all crimes, especially child rape and murder. The increased abuse of the elderly. The tremendous increase in the drug trafficking and human traffickers. The totally reprobate and fascination with drag queens and little children. Now, if Satan might write in his diary, well, I'm running out of time. If I can't find a way to break the scripture soon, I'm doomed to spend eternity into the lake of fire. I'll be there with the most arrogant, greedy, selfish, narcissistic, wicked, evil, unclean, cowardly people that ever existed. Just imagine, Satan might write, being in there with Joe Obama and hearing, come on, man, for all of eternity. What about Kamala Harris? Can you imagine? She'll say, it's hot in hell because hell is hot. And that's why in hell it's hot. Because, well, hell is hot. I mean, I could say that. And what about Hillary? What would Hillary say? She might just say, the devil should be a woman. It's time for us to have a woman, Satan. He needs to be replaced with a woman. Well, folks, we're coming up to a break. I'm going to have to stop there. We're at the end of the program. But tune in during the week because we're going to have a whole lot more as we go through the week. But anyhow, folks, this is the days that we're living in. The days are very clear. You're seeing what is called the last days. What will happen now, when the Bible talks about, and be prepared for this, perilous times are going to be coming upon us. Things are going to change. They're going to change like we told you they would, like we've been telling you. But remember that just prior, before it gets bad, before the tribulation period starts, God will take his church out of here. And so be prepared. Keep the faith. Look up for your redemption draweth nigh and run to this battle. Now is the time to place up crowns in heaven. Now is the time to show your Lord what you're made of. Right now. It's now or never. Well, we're out of time. So again, as we always say tonight, until tomorrow, good night. God bless and always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.